The Rank Organization presents a Peter Rogers production. Carry on up the Khyber. Or the British position in India. Starring Sidney James, Kenneth Williams, Charles Hawtrey, Roy Castle, Joan Sims, Bernard Breslau, Peter Butterworth, Terry Scott, Angela Douglas, Cardew Robinson. Screenplay by Talbot Rothwell.
India, 1895, the most precious gem in the far-flung belly of the great British Empire. Here the British rulers and their memsahibs enjoyed a life of luxury and ease, matched only by that of the Indian Rajas. None more so than Her Majesty's Governor of the Northwest Frontier Province, Sir Sidney Rough Diamond. For them, it was a rich life. An endless round of receptions, balls, ceremonial processions, tiger shoots, and, of course, polo.
Sir Sidney's watching a polo match with his wife and a high-ranking army officer.
And who are we playing today, Major Shorthouse?
Calabar Rovers, Your Excellency.
Oh, top hole, top hole.
Pardon? And job on the throne.
You mean the Qazi? That's Randy Lau.
Who?
Randy Lau, the Qazi of Calabar.
Oh, how do you know he is then?
How do I know he's what?
Randy.
That's his name.
Ooh, he's very good looking, isn't he?
Yes, only the richest and most powerful Raja in northern India, that's all.
He's smiling at us.
I'll smile back. You don't have to go raving mad.
My father, who are those people?
That light of my darkness is Sir Sidney Rough Diamond, the British governor, whose benevolent rule and wise guidance we could well do without.
He's a charming man, isn't he?
Yes. I wouldn't trust him an inch.
Neither would I.
I didn't mean that.
You don't like this man, my father?
Light of my darkness, there is no mountain in all India high enough from which to adequately show my contempt of him.
Well, why do you smile at him so favorably?
Because in these days of British military supremacy, the Indian must be as a basket with two faces.
I tell you something, he'd like to massacre me and every other Britisher in India.
Well, then what do you keep smiling at him like that for, then?
Because as a top-rank British diplomatist, I'm as two-faced as he is.
Players thunder down the pitch on horseback.
Later!
Well played, Philip! You'll go far, that boy, if he makes the right marriage.
Oh, I see! He did not half-crack that one, did he not?
Dearest, if you can't express yourself in more elegant terms, kindly shut your keg hole.
And so the British carried on with their carefree life, little knowing that high in the snow-capped mountains to the north, the spark was soon to be lit that would set Calabar ablaze. Here was the famous Khyber Pass, the gateway to India. This was a vital key point, guarded night and day by a detachment of the celebrated Highland Regiment, the 3rd Foot and Muff. Fearless fighting men, aptly referred to by the natives as the devils in skirts.
Private Widow!
Sergeant Major!
Private Widow, I know you're an ignorant nana, but when you are ordered to attention, you are courteously requested to stop shuffling your flaming feet about!
I was only trying to keep warm.
Oh, so you're cold, are you?
Perishing. The way the wind whistles up the pass.
I'm sorry to hear that, Widow. Maybe you'd like me to get you a hot water bottle.
Oh, how very kind. As a matter of fact, I already have one.
And what, may I ask, is that thing doing in there?
It keeps my dangler warm.
Give it here! For the last time, stop calling it a dangler. It's a spolon!
Yes, Sergeant Major, sorry.
Look at you, Widdle. A devil in skirts. You look more like an angel in pond. Pirates! You're no match better, any of you! I've seen better equipped men guarding a harem. That's not funny, Widdle. You're a disgrace to the regiment.
I didn't ask to be a devil in skirts.
Maybe you're right, Widdle. You're too good for the likes of us. You deserve a bit extra.
Oh, do you really mean that?
Yes. And we'll start off with 4 hours extra guard duty!
Widdle pulls a face and goes to stand by a wooden 5-bar gate. Two turbaned men watch Widdle from behind a rock. One's carrying a rifle.
Oi, Bandit Dean. There is a guard. We cannot go through.
Only one man, Stingy.
Oh, one devil in skirts is enough. You know they are invincible.
If we fight, maybe. But there is always bribery.
What have we got to bribe them with?
Don't you know what British soldiers are always looking for abroad?
Yes, but where are we going to get a bint up here?
No. Souvenirs. I'll offer him my weapon if he'll let me go through.
He draws a scimitar from his waistband. Widdle looks nervy as he paces up and down.
Who goes? Who goes? Oh, what's the word?
There.
Oh, thank you. Who goes there?
I go there. Very good friend.
Oh, advance friend, and give the password.
With pleasure, sir. What is password, please?
Pomegranate.
Very good. Pass friend.
Hey, just a minute. You're supposed to give it, not me.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm just stupid, ignorant burpa.
Oh, no, you don't. Stay where you are. I've got you covered. Oh, just a minute. Covered.
Oh, no, sir. No need for antagonism. I have a present for you here.
Oh.
Very good Indian scimitar. Can cut men in two with one stroke.
Widdle faints.
What did I do? I wonder.
Bungditin lifts the hem of Widdle's kilt with the tip of the scimitar blade.
Now we know.
You speak truly. The devil actually wore this garment beneath his skirts?
I swear it, Highness. Did I not remove it with my own hands?
You did well, Bungditin.
It was not difficult, Highness. It was only held up with a piece of elastic.
No, my beautiful warrior. I mean, you did well to discover it. For many, many years now, they have led us to believe that the devils wore nothing beneath their skirts, and we have feared them according. But now...
I do not understand, my father. What is there to fear from a warrior who wears nothing underneath his skirt?
Oh, my child, you have not made war, but think how frightening it would be to have such a man charging at you with his skirts flying in the air and flashing his great big bayonet at you.
It is true, but who can be afraid of men who wear such a ridiculous thing beneath their skirts?
Precisely, and when our people learn of this, they will rise up and drive the British out of Calabar.
Soldiers wearing white pith helmets, kilts and khaki tunics stand guard outside the British residency. In the grounds, the Sergeant Major quick marches Widdle down some steps and along a path to a small white building. Inside, a distinguished-looking man in a smart red uniform sits behind a desk.
Head in hand! Please! Give name, rank and number!
Private Widdle J, 36360.
Well now, what's the charge, Sergeant Major?
Gross dereliction of duty resulting in loss of government property, sir.
What government property?
Underpants, woolen, privates for the use of. One, sir.
Well, how did he manage that? Where were they?
I regret to report they were on his person, sir.
What? You mean to say he was actually wearing them?
Yes, sir. About his lower person, sir.
Good God. How could you whittle?
I felt the cold, sir.
That's no excuse, man. The third foot and mouth never wear anything under the kilt. It's part of our glorious tradition. Look at our motto. Always ready for action.
But if we're not allowed to wear them, why do they bother to issue them?
There are two specific occasions when the wearing of underpants is permissible, Whittle. One, church parade. Two, gymnastic display. And only then when there are to be ladies present. Really, Whittle, you shock me. Wearing them is bad enough. But losing them...
Beg pardon, sir. I didn't exactly lose them. They were ripped off.
Ripped off? By whom?
I didn't catch his name. But he was a huge burper.
You mean to say a native knows that you were wearing underpants? Good Gad, this is more serious than I thought. We must see His Excellency right away. Follow me.
Take it on! Live! Time! Free! March!
Major Shorthouse.
Yes?
I must see the governor right away.
I can't disturb him now, Captain Keeney. He's with the Memsahib having a bit of tiffin.
Oh, that is awkward. However, it is a matter of the utmost urgency.
Well, I'll see if they finish.
Shorthouse knocks on a door.
You can't come in?
Certainly not, sir, but Captain Keene's here to see you on a matter of the utmost urgency.
Oh, all right, just a minute.
Just coming.
Now, what is it? You know how I hate being interrupted in mid-tiffin.
I know, sir, I'm terribly sorry.
Well, it's all very well, but it's not often the mam and I get the chance these days. I mean, when we were in Calcutta, we had it twice a day, together, regularly.
I'm afraid it's my fault, Your Excellency.
All right, I expect you'll keep it warm. What is it that's so urgent?
Your Excellency, I regret to report there's been an incident at the pass.
There's always incidents at passes. You've only got to make a pass and you're in trouble.
I'm afraid this was no ordinary incident, sir. If you just listen to Private Whittle's story...
All right, make it quick.
All right. Sergeant Major.
Private Whittle! Four paces from where? Come on! Right, left, right, hold! Left, tap! Head gear in hand! Brace! Story from the beginning! Begin!
All right, God blimey, don't have to make a full-scale tattoo out of it.
All right, get on with it, Whittling.
Whittle, sir.
All right, Whittle then, but get on with it.
Well, sir, I was on guard duty at the pass when this huge burper suddenly appeared in front of me and pulled it out.
Pulled what out?
His, sword thing.
Oh! Go on, then.
Well, sir, the next thing I remember is coming to, lying on the ground, and they were off.
They were? Blimey, that's rough.
He means his underpants were off, sir.
Quite.
Underpants? But you fellas don't wear them.
No, sir, but Private Whittle did. If the natives ever get to hear of this, sir, it will completely destroy our reputation for toughness.
He's right, sir, you know. A little thing like this could start off a full-scale rebellion.
Oh, hardly, Shorthouse.
The massacre of thousands of innocent people.
Oh, please, really.
The end of British rule in India.
Oh, rubbish, Shorthouse.
And the finish of a cushy job for you.
You're quite right. We'll have to do something.
Sir, our only hope now is to try and scotch the rumour before it spreads too far.
You're right. Absolutely right. All right, we'll go and see the Kazi personally. This calls for a spot of top-level diplomatic bluff. The sort of thing that made our empire what it is. We are not called John Bull for nothing.
Well, thank goodness for that. Now perhaps we can finish our tiffin.
Later. I've got something very important to do.
What?
I've got to go to the Kazi.
Well, you should have gone before tiffin. You know, it's very bad.
The Kazi of Calabar.
Oh. Oh. Can I come too?
Can you come too? Haven't we got enough trouble without you coming along, opening your big mouth and shoving your flat foot in it?
Oh, well, that's very nice. It never occurs to you that I might be able to help in these matters.
Help how?
I have heard that the Kazi is very susceptible to beautiful women.
Yes, well, so am I. Look what I finished up with.
Oh, very funny. You may not realise it, Sydney Rough Diamond, but there are hidden fires in me.
Hidden fires? There might have been once, but now you're just bung full of clinker.
Well, if I am, it's only because you never bothered to...
Oh, shut up. Tell Shorthouse to call me an elephant.
He needn't bother. I will. You're an elephant.
In white uniform and plumed pith helmet, Sir Sidney strides up the steps of a large onion-domed building. Bungditin approaches the Kazi, who's sitting on a red and gold throne surrounded by beautiful young women.
Highness, the governor is on his way.
Ah, I thought it would not be long before he came. Return to your quarters, O warmers of my feet. Not you, O light of my darkness. I want you to stay and witness the discomfiture of the British pigs.
Yes, my father.
I do wish you wouldn't keep doing that rank stupidity.
His Excellency, the Governor of Calabar.
A loincloth servant opens a set of double doors and Sir Sidney marches into a grand room with scalloped arches, followed by Captain Keane and the Sergeant Major. Sir Sidney removes his helmet and bows before the Kazi.
Your Excellency, your presence enriches my humble home. May the benevolence of the god Shivu bring blessings on your house.
And on yours.
And may his wisdom bring success in all your undertakings.
And in yours.
And may his radiance light up your life.
And up yours.
Your Excellency is most kind. May I have the honor to present my daughter, the Princess Jelly.
An appropriate name for one set in so perfect a mold.
Oh, yeah. I must beg your Excellency not to lavish too much of his excruciating wit on us.
Yes. May I present Captain Keane, Sergeant Major McNutt?
I have already seen Captain Keane on the polo field. He is very pretty.
Thank you, Princess. I have also seen you. You are very pretty, too.
Thank you. You would like to embrace me?
Not yet. Not before tiffin, daughter. Gentlemen, please be seated. Jelly, serve our honored guests. And how is her most gracious majesty, Queen Waterloo?
Victoria.
Oh, yes, of course, silly me. I never can remember.
She's well. I had a postcard from her the other day. She sent you all her love.
Oh, she is most generous. I must make her another gift. Some more elephants, perhaps.
Oh, I wouldn't do that, Your Highness. No more elephants. I mean, Buckingham Palace isn't all that big. And I do need a lot of clearing up after.
If you say so. But in India, the more elephants a man has, the higher his standing.
Yes, and the higher his rhubarb.
Jelly.
Yes, my father?
It is not proper for one of such high caste to be making the eyes of the cow at the rear end of the horse.
Not even when his smile shines like the very sun of the heavens.
Not even when it shines like the very seat of the trousers. Now go to the women's quarters and pay your respects to your mother.
Yes, my father. Which one is she again?
Oh, how many more times? She with the hair like burnished copper and the eyes as green as emeralds. And number 32 stamped on her back.
A wall adorned with animal trophy heads and a tiger skin.
I see your Excellency is admiring my trophies.
Yes, they're really something to be proud of.
Come and take a closer look. It has taken me many years to collect them.
Very impressive. Very, very impressive. I'd even go so far as to say that you're a bit of a shot.
I hope I heard you correctly.
I did.
I have a more recent one over here, which I think will interest your Excellency.
Yes, very interesting. As a matter of fact, it reminds me of what I've come to speak to you about.
No.
I don't know whether Your Highness has heard it or not, but there's a ridiculous rumour circulating to the effect that the fearless soldiers of the Third Foot and Mouth, the dreaded devils in skirts, are wearing garments such as those underneath their kilts.
Oh, really? How absurd. Is it true?
Is it true? You hear that, chaps? He wants to know if it's true. Oh, of course it's not true. There was one man wearing them, I believe. It was a form of self-punishment.
Self-punishment?
Yes, well, they are made of rather coarse wool, you understand?
Or, as they say in England, they tickle the fancy.
Very funny, isn't that funny?
Well, they didn't have the old Oxford education for nothing, you know.
No. Anyway, Your Majesty was most displeased when she heard about this rumour, but thought that a word of denial from a man of your influence and power...
Well, of course, I should not like to upset Her Most Gracious Majesty Queen Euston.
Victoria.
Oh, yes, of course, I am so sorry. Well, truly, I would be most pleased to deny this rumour to my people.
Oh, well, that's good, that's settling.
If, of course, it could be proved to me that the other soldiers don't wear them.
Eh? Oh. Yes, well, why not? Right away. Captain King.
Your Excellency.
You heard. His Highness wants proof.
Yes. Sergeant Major.
Sir.
You may have the honour.
I'd rather not, sir.
Rather not? That's an order.
McNutt whispers in Captain Keane's ear.
So am I.
Oh, no.
The indignity of it. I've never been made to look such a fool in my life. How could you do it to me?
I am terribly sorry, sir. I had no idea you'd want us to demonstrate.
What are you wearing them for, anyway? Great, big, tough men like you. It's disgusting.
But they're not woolen ones, sir. I had them made here. They're Indian silk.
Silk? Silk? Can you imagine what they'll say when it gets out that the commander of the devils in skirts wears silk knickers?
I would like to say, Your Excellency, that I am only wearing them from a sense of duty.
Duty?
Yes, sir. You see, they were hand-knitted for me by my mother.
I don't care if they were hand-embroidered by your father.
He did do the flowers.
Flowers? Flowers? It's getting worse. It's like a horrible canker spreading right through the army. Who knows how far it's gone?
But none of the other men wear them, I assure you, sir.
That is correct, sir. The men respect the tradition of the regiment.
Do they? Well, there's only one way to find out.
Soldiers line up on a parade ground in front of the British Residency.
Hooray! Hooray! Hooray!
Lady Rough Diamond peeks out of a window.
Hooray, ready for inspection, sir!
Yes, Sergeant Major.
Captain Keane salutes the Sydney.
Parade ready for inspection, sir.
The area been cleared of spectators?
Yes, sir.
The men are not being warned with the purpose of this inspection?
No, sir.
Carry on, Captain.
Thank you, sir. Carry on, Sergeant Major.
Now listen, cavalry men. This is a new drill. On the word of command, the hem of the kilt we've grasped firmly in both hands. Kilts! Grasp! Right. Now, on the next word of command, the hands will be brought smartly up to the level of the shoulder. Parade! Still keeping a tight hold on those kilts. Hands! Race!
They're all wearing underpants. Lady Rough Diamond takes a photo.
Oh, my dear Lady Rough Diamond, it is truly a very excellent photographic reproduction.
I thought you might be interested. I've heard all about the incident of Private Whittle and his, pardon my blushes, underpants.
Yes, indeed. But as it is such very excellent anti-British propaganda, I can't help wondering, dear madam, why you have brought it to me.
Well, can't you guess? I thought perhaps if I did something nice for you, you might do something nice for me.
Ah, I understand. You scratch my back and I will scratch yours.
Oh, that might be interesting for a start.
But, my dear madam, even if you were to allow me to keep this, what would you expect in return? Rubies? Emeralds?
Well, afterwards, perhaps.
After what, dear madam?
Oh, look, can you not tell from the quickness of my breathing, the heaving of my bosom, the hot flush on my cheeks?
You are perhaps requiring the Indian herbal laxative?
Oh, no, I had that last week. Ever since I first saw you, I haven't been able to get you out of my mind. I lay awake at night thinking of your strong arms around me, your, hot lips on mine, and our bodies entwined in oriental passion.
Yes, yes, yes. But what is it that you want?
Oh, stone the crack. Look, do you want it or don't you?
Oh, yes, most certainly,
then
dear madam.
Take me with
it. Take you? Oh, I see.
Not before time.
Now, but you drive an impossible bargain, dear lady. I do not make love.
You don't?
No, I am extremely rich. I have servants to do everything for me.
Oh, well, that's what the tin has on it, ain't it?
But perhaps, in your case, I might be willing to make an exception.
Oh, Randy now.
I must take this immediately to show to my warriors in the hills, and then I will return to attend to you, dear lady.
Oh, no, you'll attend to me first, if you don't mind.
But I must take that with me now.
Well, then take me with it.
But what about your husband?
Oh, we don't want him.
Will he not be displeased that you come away with me?
Oh, of course. Oh, Sydney, you'll be so upset.
Oh, do not worry unduly. Before many days, he and the others will all be dead.
Oh, well, that's all right, isn't it?
Nice. As Captain Keane heads towards his office in the grounds of the British Residency, Princess Jelly pops out from behind a bush.
Captain Keane!
Princess Jelly, what are you doing here?
I've come to warn you. You must leave India immediately.
Leave India? Why?
My father, he's planning an uprising. He will kill all the British.
What? I mean, what?
Oh, you must believe me. It's true. I have to go now before I'm missed. But for my sake, please leave.
Why for your sake?
Because I love you.
She loves me.
Sir Sidney's reading a book.
Yes?
Captain Keane's here to see you, sir.
Oh, good. Is her ladyship back yet?
No, sir. She said she was going to the hairdresser.
Oh. Well, I hope she's not having it off.
Mm.
Send him in. Oh, Captain, I'm glad you came. I want you to post an immediate order. As from now, any of your men caught wearing underpants will be liable for immediate court-martial.
Oh, but it's purely tradition, sir. I don't think we can force them not to wear them.
Oh, yes, we can. I've got it right here. Army Regulation 74B. On tropical service, all ranks must keep their personal equipment free from dust and rust, and to avoid damp rot, open to free circulation of air. There we are. I think that should cover it, or rather, uncover it.
I'm afraid it's too late anyhow, sir.
What do you mean, too late?
I've just seen Princess Jelly, sir, and she's told me that her father has got a photograph of the inspection parade.
You mean with their things up?
Yes, I'm afraid so, sir. He's going to use it to incite his people to revolt.
Who's responsible for this treachery? You took that photograph. I'll nail him to the flagpole.
I'm rather afraid, sir. It was Lady Rough Diamond.
What, the mem? I don't believe it.
It's true, sir. The Kazi has taken her and the photograph to Jaxi.
Who?
Jaxi, sir. It's a hill town just across the border. Stronghold of Bungdit Din and his Burpas.
Oh. Well, I suppose we'd better go and rescue her.
I'm sorry to say, sir, that her ladyship did not go unwillingly.
Oh, nonsense. Her ladyship always does everything unwillingly. I should know.
Sir, you must prepare yourself for a shock. According to the princess, her ladyship is enamoured of the Kazi.
Oh, no. No, not there. Not there.
Do try and keep a stiff upper lip, sir.
I'm trying, Captain, but I just can't help it. The thought of them together. Lying in his arms, slobbering all over him. I just can't help feeling sorry for the poor Burke.
Sir, with your permission, I would like to get her and the photograph back.
But Jaxi's outside our jurisdiction.
I think a few of us disguised as Burpas might well pull it off, sir.
Damn risky, but it would be worth it to get that photograph back.
Yes, we might even get her ladyship back for you, sir.
That's a chance I'll have to take. Jaxi's over the border. You'll never get there without a guide.
I know of a guide, sir.
You do?
Yes, sir. A missionary in the town. Brother Belcher.
Belcher, eh? Well, he should make a good burper anyway. God, blimey. Do you think he'll help?
Probably not, sir, in the ordinary way. But I think I know a way of persuading him.
Repent ye before it is too late. Leave the primrose path of sin and wickedness and enter into the fold along with all the other four sheep. Brothers and sisters, I say unto you, worldly goods are a curse and an abomination. Money is a burden. Let me relieve you of that burden. Don't pick your nose in the congregation. Thank you. Get out of it. Oh, there is no profit in worldly goods.
No, no.
Nor is there joy to be found in wanton wallowing in pleasures of the flesh. Let not the painted houri lure you with lustful embraces, nor let their cold-fringed eyes lure you.
A young woman in pink and purple silks winks at the podgy preacher. He flips over a sign that reads, Sinners Welcome with Open Arms, so it displays the message, Gone for Tiffin, then follows her across a dusty village square. McNutt and Captain Keane smirk as they watch. The preacher and the young woman are canoodling on a bed.
Fight the good fight! Oh, brothers!
Captain Keane and McNutt head into a house, then through a bead curtain into a bedroom.
Brother Belcher!
Captain Keane. I was just giving this young lady some moral guidance.
I don't think you could teach her a great deal, Brother Belcher.
You're right there, Captain, sir. No, please don't get the wrong idea, Captain.
I wouldn't get the wrong idea, Brother Belcher.
I'll give you one and... I say, she does want it badly. Moral guidance, sir. I mean...
Yes, well, you just give it to her, brother. I'm sorry we barged in.
Captain Keane, sir, a word in your ear. Captain Keane, sir!
I did well, yes?
You did very well. Here.
Some coins.
Captain, look, if this got about, people might misunderstand. I don't want to spoil my public image, do I?
No, of course not, brother. Don't worry, we won't tell anyone.
Spoken like a right Christian.
Provided, of course, you're agreeable to do a little something for us.
Certainly, brothers, certainly. A bit of Bible reading or a soupçon of psalm singing. Psalm singing, of course, comes a bit more expensive.
No, it's nothing like that. We'd like you to act as a guide on a little military operation.
Military? Me? Certainly not.
It's the only way you can stop us talking.
But, Captain, look, you don't seriously expect me, a man of peace, an advocate of brotherly love, to lend myself to a military punch-up?
You'll get 10 rupees a day, of course.
When do we start?
Right away.
Give me 10 minutes.
Why, what are you going back in there for?
A couple of points I still want to go over.
A man blows a horn on a balcony of a crenellated fort, then, bunged it in, steps out to address a gathered crowd.
Purpose! We are honored today by a visit of the great and powerful Raja from across the mountains, the Qazi of Calabar!
The Qazi ducks as the burpers open fire with their rifles.
What happened? What did I do wrong? It is all right, Highness. It is only their way of showing pleasure.
Oh, I'd hate to be around when they show anger.
Burpers! Listen to the Qazi and listen well, for he offers the chance of great glory to you all.
You have heard your great leader, Bangdit In of Jaxi. I come to you today from my country across the mountains because I need help. And it has long been known that you, the Burpers, are the greatest fighters in all Afghanistan. Warriors who are fearless on the battlefield and whose very name makes their enemies tremble with fear.
What's he giving them?
What we term in ecclesiastical circles, Captain, a bit of the old flannel.
That is why I have come to you, to offer you the opportunity to make much money and even greater glory.
The Burpers fire their rifles.
I wish they wouldn't do that.
Do not worry, Highness. They show much pleasure. If they hit you, it will only be an accident.
Oh, that's very reassuring. And now I will tell you how this money and glory will come. We are going to rise up and drive the British out of India!
The Qazi ducks.
Oh, that's much nicer.
No. It is not good. It is their way of showing displeasure.
What?
I will find out what is wrong. Purpose! Why do you dislike the idea of fighting the British?
We cannot fight the devils in skirts. It is a well-known fact that they are invincible. Is that not so, men?
They shake their heads.
Ah, they are against him.
No. They are agreeing with him.
Oh, what a funny lot.
Do not talk to me of devils in skirts. The skirts of the devils are the skirts of women. Would devils wear such a thing as this beneath them?
Hey, those are mine. And that's the chap who took them off me. I remember his face.
I'd hate to think what he remembers of you.
Can you fear men who wear such a thing as this? Now will you fight with us?
They nod.
No. No, I thought so. They do everything here the wrong way round.
They are descended from one of the oldest tribes in Afghanistan. The Arsitasis.
Red would need more than this one garment to convince our chiefs. We cannot fight without their permission.
They need more proof. You have the picture here?
Yes, the Mem Sahib has it. Oh dear, they've got me doing it now.
Good. Purpose, go to your chiefs and tell them to come to my house. And the Qazi will show them a picture proving that the devils are as women.
The crowd disperses.
They will fight once we have won their chiefs over.
Before I see them, perhaps we should sweeten them a little, yes?
Good. If he's promised to show them the picture, that means they haven't seen it yet. Now, you wait here. I'll just scout around a bit, see if I can find a way in.
And the best of Bombay luck, Duck.
Whittle! Replace your chin gear at once!
This beard doesn't half itch. What is it made of?
Goat's hair.
Poo.
Never mind the poo, put it back!
Wearing a false beard and Burpa clothing, Captain Keen looks for a man of similar height and build to himself. He stands beside one Burpa, but McNutt shakes his head. He returns to the others, checking under McNutt's false beard to be sure it's him.
There's no other way, chaps. We're going to have to try and force our way in.
We'll never force our way through these doors, sir.
No.
That's where Mr. Belcher comes in.
That's where Mr. Belcher goes out. Good day, gentlemen.
Mr. Belcher, all you have to do is knock on the door, ask to see the Qazi, and when the door is opened, we will rush them.
Now?
Now. Come on.
Now. There's no one in.
Knock again. Louder.
What do I do now?
Just say you want to see the Qazi and leave the rest to us.
Ah!
Yes?
I want to see the Qazi and leave the rest to us.
Achaya Sarula Kanjanji!
What did he say?
Hatcham is a Qazi! Shut me up the Ganges!
Here we go!
Captain Keen leads his men through a beaded curtain into a room of young women wearing veils, sequined bras and silky skirts. Bungditin enters the room from behind the women and pushes them aside.
Ah, gentlemen, you are welcome. We have been expecting you. But please, put your swords up.
That's tempting.
We offer you only friendship here.
You do?
Of course. His Highness the Qazi will see you later. But in the meantime, I offer you the hospitality of my humble dwelling. Woman! Please, go with the women. Refresh yourselves. Ask for anything you desire. Deny yourselves nothing.
It must be a trap.
Gaw! Let's walk into it.
That's enough, Widow.
But if you care for me to go ahead with her and reconnoiter the situation, sir.
No, thank you, Sergeant Major. We must stick together whatever we do. Follow me.
A large room with gilded columns set around a central circular pool.
Well, sir?
Well, it looks all right.
All right? Why, it's fairyland.
The women sashay into the room.
We await your pleasure, masters.
Pleasure? The idea.
What do we do, sir?
Men, we mustn't forget we came here with a definite objective. To get that photograph.
Oh, you're absolutely right, sir.
On the other hand, we don't want to rush into anything.
Oh, you're absolutely right, sir.
So perhaps it would be advisable for us to stay here for a bit.
Stay here for a bit? Are you suggesting we remain and indulge ourselves in whatever's going on?
We have no alternative, Mr. Belcher.
But these are women of pleasure. Do you expect me, a missionary, to lend myself to such carryings on? My job is to save fallen women.
I realize that, Mr. Belcher.
Good. Save me the one with the big earrings.
Enough, Jelly.
The chiefs have arrived and are enjoying my hospitality.
Excellent. When they have been surfeited, they should be easily persuaded.
You have the photograph?
Not yet, I fear. Lady Rough Diamond has secreted it upon her person in such a place it cannot easily be got at.
Why waste time? Let us take it from her by force.
That would be unpardonable. In India, the cow is sacred.
A harem girl proffers a tray of food.
Not now, dear.
She heads across the room to where the others are being entertained by girls.
Not just now, thank you. What have you got out of her?
Mind your own business.
I mean, what information?
Excuse me, Adam. Her ladyship's here, all right, but she doesn't know anything about a photograph.
I'll keep working on her.
Don't worry, I will. Oh, she must think I'm deaf.
Good boy. Well, now.
Why? Oh, what pretty earrings. Are they rubies?
No, they are mine.
For me? How nice. What a pretty necklace it'd be. Pity to split them up. Oh.
She takes it off.
You shouldn't. You'll be getting me a bad name. I can't help admiring those. They're beauties, aren't they?
Oh!
No! Oh, shh.
McNutt grips a shapely thigh and Whittle waggles his legs in the air as he's pinned down on some cushions by a harem girl. Brother Belcher's prizing jewels from a girl's bra with a knife.
Hold still. There we are. There. That didn't hurt, did it?
No.
Later, dear. I'm collecting on behalf of the mission at the moment.
A girl whispers in Whittle's ear.
Oh, no. Hang on. I say, she's done it again.
Done what?
She keeps on asking me something. I nod yes. Then she claps her hands and goes mad.
Yeah. Stand easy, will you? Ah, well, just remember, when a burper nods, it means no. Oh, hang on. And when they applaud, it shows displeasure. Oh, all right, now then.
Hey, girly, just a minute.
Look, I am saying yes. Yes.
Whittle chases the girl around the pool, shaking his head frantically.
Yes.
He grabs hold of her, and they fall into the pool together.
A good idea. Mixed bathies. Come on, chaps. Fall in.
Yes!
Captain Keane jumps into the pool and is followed by the others. A group of burpers approach the fort's wooden doors.
Well, what is it?
The chiefs are here.
I know that fool. I've already seen them.
No, these are other chiefs.
What other chiefs?
Then who are the ones already here?
Call the guards! Call the guards! Salamji! Mineral!
Bunditin acknowledges the real chiefs, then bursts in on Captain Keane and his men, who are still cavorting with the girls in the pool. Rifle-carrying guards surround them.
Remember, men, only give name, rank and number.
At the British Residency.
This way, please, madam.
All right, thank you, Major. Will you sit down, madam?
Thank you.
And what can I do for you?
It is more a question of what I can do for you, Excellency.
Pardon?
I am His Highness the Qazi's number one. You know that my lord and master has taken your woman away with him?
I know.
He has done you a great wrong. And it is my duty, as his woman, to right that wrong.
It is? Is it? Oh, what exactly did you have in mind?
What he has done unto you, you are entitled to do unto him. It is the custom of our people.
Well, as a stranger to your country, I must get used to your customs.
That is well. I am ready to right that wrong.
Me too.
He gets to his feet.
Don't go away. Good ass.
Sir.
Don't disturb us, please. We're going to have a spot of tiffin.
Warriors perform a shuffling dance.
What are they celebrating, my father?
The British prisoners, my child, that we executed at sunset.
No, father. Spare them.
Impossible, my child, that it will help to show these Burpa fools that the British are not invincible.
The white men, sir, too.
Of course, but do not worry. We'll make it easy for them. They will die the death of 1,000 cats.
Oh, no. Oh, that's horrible.
Nonsense, child. The British are used to cats.
In a stone dungeon.
Charmin, join the army and see the next world. It's all your fault.
Why, what have I done?
What have you done? You can't even take part in a simple little orgy without going raving mad, chasing women round the room, diving into pools after them.
I didn't ask to come on this job, and I don't know why he picked me.
I chose you, Whittle, because if anything was to go wrong, I couldn't think of anyone I'd rather it go wrong to!
Now, steady chaps. Try and keep calm. We've been in tighter spots than this.
Here we go. He's going to ask us to keep a stiff upper lip next.
I was about to say, remember, we're British.
I beg your pardon, Captain.
Then I was going to say, keep a stiff upper lip.
Well, I'm not standing round here waiting for mine to stiffen. Guard! Guard! I'm an ecclesiastical dignitary. I insist on seeing the British consul.
What do you want, pig?
I was going to ask for the name of a good dentist, but I don't think I'll bother now.
The feast in honor of the chiefs is ready, my dear Raj.
Good, I will go now.
You have the photograph?
No. Wait, I will see if I can get it.
Lady Rough Diamonds reclining on a bed.
She'd forgotten all about me.
Impossible, my dear madam.
You haven't mentioned the dress.
Sari.
Oh, there's no need to apologize. It's a nice little fringe.
No, the garment is called a sari.
Oh, oh yes, of course, silly me. The sari with the fringe on top.
Yes, it looks most exquisite on you, madam. But if you will forgive my saying so, there's something here causing an ugly bulge.
Well, I can't help the way I'm made.
Oh, no, I don't think it's part of you. Ah! I have it.
You're very welcome to it, I'm sure.
No, of course, it is the photograph. Allow me to relieve you of what must be a most tiresome burden.
Now, Randy, remember our bargain? I shall give it to you when you...
Yes, I know the rest.
And that I trust without seeming to be too immodest or anxious could be right now.
Oh, no, please, madam, no, I cannot, not before a meal.
Oh, when then, when?
Well, never fear, I will have it at sunset.
Oh, how romantic I can hardly contain myself.
I noticed that, as the sari is much too small.
Oh, till sunset, then.
Till sunset.
Well, you have it?
No, but don't worry. It will be easy after the public execution. Oh, and only 500 cuts for the memsahib. I don't want the photograph ruined.
Princess Jelly slips into Lady Rough Diamond's room.
My lady, you must leave this place at once. Are you kidding, dear? Oh, I wouldn't miss tonight for anything. My father has told you what is to happen to you then?
Not half, at sunset.
And you're not frightened?
Oh, well, it's not as if it's the first time, is it?
But for it to happen in public, in front of everyone, is it not humiliating?
Oh, well, I wouldn't want it... In public?
Yes. Everyone will be watching when it is done. It is the custom.
Oh, but where I come from, it isn't. In public... Oh, I think that's positively common.
Well, that is why I've come to save you. You and the British soldiers who are to die with you.
Die? What are you talking about?
The death of 1,000 cats. That is what is going to happen at sunset.
Death by 1,000 cats? But I thought he was going to... Oh, the dirty, rotten cheat! You wait till I get my hands on him.
Oh, my lady, trust in me. I have a plan to save you and to get you to your home.
Home? But how can I go home now after what I've done? Poor Sidney. I wonder what he's doing now.
So, you're Lee Carty's number...
Three, eh?
Oh, please sit down.
Thank you.
Very nice, too.
I have come because my lord and master has taken your woman.
Yes, it's been a terrible shock to me, terrible. He's done me a great wrong.
True. I have come to right that wrong.
It's funny, I was hoping you'd say that. Excuse me. Shorthouse!
Sir?
Don't disturb us, please. We're going to have a bit of tiffin.
It's not time to tiffin, sir.
Mind your own business. Any time is tiffin time.
There's Jelly leads Lady Rough Diamond down to the dungeons.
Who's there?
It is I, the Princess Jelly. The white Memsahib will be put in the cell with the other prisoners.
As the guard goes to unlock a cell door, Lady Rough Diamond fells him with a deft karate chop to the neck.
Princess Jelly!
Captain Keen, is it you?
Yes. How wonderful. I never thought I'd see you again.
Oh, nor I you.
And yet, here you are.
Here you are.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Your ladyship, have you still got the photograph?
Yes. Worse luck. I thought you said there was no time to lose.
Yes, we must hurry. We must leave before the feast finishes. Change into these things immediately.
Oh, please.
And now, for a little illusion, I teach up in Baghdad. Baghdad. Home of the immortal words. Who was that bag I saw you with last night, Dad? Who was that bag I saw you with last night, Dad? Oh, I'm loving that. And now, for my greatest illusion, I would like from my audience the assistance of one female lady.
Bungdatin snaps his fingers at a voluptuous young woman.
Thank you, madam. And may I have your name, please?
They call me Basti.
Really? And may I have your assistance, please?
Who is this idiot?
Now, I want you to observe. I have one young lady here and two stools. That one's a young lady. Oh, naughty. Now then, I also want you to observe there is nothing between the young lady and the ceiling and nothing between the young lady and the floor. When I remove the stool, you will observe that the young lady is in a state of complete suspension with no visible means of support. Now, I will now cover this young lady with this old cloth. I will now remove the first stool. I will now remove the first stool.
It's clear. Come on.
Princess Jelly's dressed the men in long sequined skirts, red midriff tops, and black veil headdresses.
Is this the best you could do?
It is the safest. It's the costume of the Nautch dancers, the guards. They will not interfere with you.
They'll get a nasty shock if they do.
Follow me.
Come on.
Go on, Ethel.
The men cover their faces with the veils.
I will now remove the second stool.
Bring on the dancing girls. Get rid of this idiot. Fakir, off.
Two guards bow as Princess Jelly leads her phony dance troupe towards an archway. Bungdatin stops them in their tracks.
You! Oh, come! You have kept our guests waiting. Hurry! The dance! The dance! Ready.
What do we do now?
Do as I do. It is our only chance.
Play!
Bungdatin takes a seat next to the Qazi as the dancers back into the room. Copying Princess Jelly, the men swing from left to right, forming their arms into an S shape. The Qazi and Bungdatin share an appreciative look. Now the dancers stand in a line, wiggling their hips and shaking their heads from side to side. A look of horror crosses the Qazi's face as he watches Whittle's skirt fall to the floor, exposing a pair of off-white, knee-length underpants.
Seize him!
Speeded up footage of the men grappling with sword-wielding guards before making their escape.
Under them! Push us under them!
The dance troupe heads outside into a courtyard through an arched wooden door, and Captain Keen locks the door behind them. Guards try to open the door.
Hey, you fools! Oh, get a battering ram!
How do we get out of here? There's no other door.
Well, no, it is the place where the women of the harem get exercise.
As if they don't get enough inside.
We'll have to get over the wall somehow.
Wait a minute, dear. Let's get it right. Remove the first stool. Now, remove the second stool. That's it! Eureka!
Hey, you! Fakir! We need your help.
Sorry, madam, I'm busy.
Madam? I am Captain Keen of Her Majesty's Third Foot and Mouth, and this is Sergeant Major McNutt.
You can afford me.
Look, we need that rope of yours to get us over the wall.
I'm sorry, it won't work. Not without the magic words.
Come on, you'll be well paid.
Those are the magic words. Come on, help me off this thing.
Right.
The fakir's lying on his back, seemingly in mid-air.
What thing?
Oh, look, look! I've had a touch of the levitations.
Now, never mind that. Get the rope.
Oh, rope, yes. Oh, rope. Here we are. Couple of left.
A large snake.
Oh, here we are. A lovely ladder. Snakes and ladders. Snakes and ladders.
That'll do.
What?
Lovely. Oh. Just what we needed. Come along now. Oh. The wall.
Oh, come on, then.
Over the wall. That's here. Right. Up. Here we go.
Can you get the rope then? No, this'll do. All right. I'm going to tell me.
It will have told me. Right,
let's go.
Where are you taking?
Shut up and keep out of sight.
The fakir opens the door and Bunditin's men come charging out, carrying a tree trunk battering ram.
Cinder!
They've got away.
Never mind.
We have the photograph. I will go after the pigs. So
don't bother.
Go with your men. Take the shortcut to the Khyber Pass and wipe out the British garrison there. Then the way will be open for us to the governor's residency at Calabar.
Sir Sidney's snoozing on a couch.
Your Excellency, sir.
Eh?
Who? There's another one of them here.
Another one? So soon?
Mm.
Did she say what number?
9, sir.
9. How many women's have Kazi got?
The last count, 51, sir.
51. Oh, send her in.
Yeah.
You're us?
Yes, sir. I know. You're not to be disturbed. You're having tiffin.
The bodies of slaughtered, kilt-wearing soldiers lie strewn across a rocky grass slope at the Khyber Pass. Lady Rough Diamond stares in horror at the scene of carnage.
I don't like making guesses, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if there hadn't been a spot of foul play here.
Foul play? Look at them, lying around here like a lot of unwanted cocktail snacks.
Ginger.
Who is?
He is. Ginger, my mate.
Private Hale?
Yes, Ginger Hale.
Whittle holds Ginger's head in his arms.
Hello, Ginger. It's me, Jimmy. Your old mate. Jimmy Whittle.
Jimmy?
Hmm.
Is it you? My old mate.
Ginge mate, how'd you feel?
Oh, not so good. I think I've been wounded.
Oh, only here and there.
Jimmy?
Hmm.
I can trust you. Now give it to me straight. Am I gonna be all right?
Course not, Ginge mate.
Eh?
I said course not, Ginge mate.
I'm not gonna be all right.
Well, how could you be with half a dozen dirty great holes in you? You've had it.
You're a bleeding fine, mate, I must say.
What do you mean? You asked me to give it to you straight.
Yeah, but I didn't mean you to.
You are a little rat, you. That's enough, Widow. You're a great little comfort to a dying man, aren't you? Now, listen, Hale. This is Sergeant Major McNutt. What happened, lad?
They attacked about half an hour ago, sir. Hundreds of them. They.
Ginger exhales, and McNutt shakes his head.
Oh, no. Ginge. Ginge, mate. I'm sorry, I... Poor old mate.
Whittle covers Ginger's body with a coat.
That's right! Bleed will suffocate me!
The Kazi and Bunditin meet on a mountain pass.
The entire garrison at Khyber has been wiped out, mighty Raj.
Well done, my most beautiful warrior! You're a better man than I am, Bunditin. You see now that the photograph does not lie? The devils in skirts are not invincible! We have caught them with their pants up!
Mazek!
McNutt peers through a pair of binoculars to see Bungatin leading a charge up the Khyber Pass.
Captain Keane, sir! Captain Keane!
What is it?
They're coming down the pass, sir! Hundreds of the devils!
Thank you, Sergeant Major. Everybody outside, please!
They emerge from a small stone guard post.
Right. Now, pay attention, please, everyone. It appears the Kazi is coming down the pass with his army. Now, I've decided that you will all try and get back to the residence.
We? What about you?
I'm going to stay back here and hold them off as long as possible.
Oh, no, sir. That's no job for an officer, sir. Allow me.
Very well, Sergeant Major. You realize it means certain death.
Yes. That's why it's no job for an officer.
Yes. I hadn't thought of that.
I'll be pleased to have one volunteer to stay with me, sir.
Don't look at me. I'm a civilian.
Widdle!
And I'm a coward.
Widdle, I'm giving you one last chance!
And I'm a cowardly volunteer. Excuse me.
With pleasure.
That's my Widdle.
Good luck, Sergeant Major.
Thank you, sir. And you, sir.
And you, Widdle.
And you.
There's someone moving about down in the pass. Do you think those fools will try to make a fight of it?
They will have difficulty. We took care of the arms there, too.
Rifles with bent barrels.
I think someone's been at them.
Useless! Never mind, we've still got the Maxim and a field gun.
Right.
Widdle, get the ammunition!
Brother Belcher staggers along with Lady Rough Diamond on his back.
Oh, yes, I'm just loving it.
Here's quite a new experience for me. I've only ever ridden side saddle before.
You could have fooled me.
Here they come. Fire!
No! Wait till you see the whites of their eyes.
I can only see the pinks. Will that do?
Yeah! Have a taste of this, you swine!
McNutt turns a handle on a machine gun.
What the devil?
There's a record in its ammo drum.
You rotten swines! You'll pay for this! Come on!
Widdle dithers as he loads a shell into a field gun.
Come on! Take that!
The shell shoots out the back of the gun.
Everyone!
And explodes just feet from Captain Keane and the others. McNutt pulls a cork stopper from the end of the gun barrel. Bungatin's heading through the gate at the pass.
Widdle! Run!
Come on, let's get out of here.
Ow! Whoa! Here! Wait! Hey, wait for me!
Brother Belcher jumps on Lady Rough Diamond's back. Sir Sidney's dictating a letter to Shorthouse.
To Her Most Gracious Majesty Victoria, Queen of Great Britain and the Dominions, Empress of All India, Defender of the Faith. Dear Vicky, I have the honour to report that all goes well with Your Majesty's province of Calabar. And I flatter myself that I have established new and more intimate relationships with many of your subjects.
11, to be precise.
Many of your subjects, and I look forward to continuing to do so. I therefore close, your most respectful servant, Sir Sidney Rough Diamond, KCB, OBE, ACDC, BBC, ITV, available for private parties.
Etc, etc.
Oh, yes. P.S. Love to Albert.
Excuse me, sir.
Shorthouse opens the door to a turbaned man who whispers in his ear.
There's another one of them here, sir.
Oh, blimey, no.
Well, sir, if you're not feeling fit, perhaps I could see her for you.
Major Shorthouse, however onerous they may be, nobody can ever say that I neglect my official duties.
Neither do rabbits.
Did she give any number?
13, sir.
13. Unlucky for some. Dinner in. 13, eh? That's 12 down, 38 to go. Carla, wondering what happened to number 5.
Captain Tim Keen, Lady Rough Diamond, Princess Jelly and Brother Belcher arrive at the gates of the British Residency on the back of an ox cart.
Thanks for the lift.
Yes, it was quite an experience. I've never ridden in carts pulled by cows before.
Bullocks, Mr. Belcher.
No, I haven't, honestly.
Oh, here we are, home safe and sound.
Well, if I can still call it home after the way I've treated poor Sydney, I doubt if he'll let me back.
Nonsense, Your Ladyship. I keep telling you, it isn't as if anything happened to you.
Well, there's no need to keep rubbing it in.
The dishevelled foursome head through the gates. Sir Sidney's kissing and cuddling number 13.
It was good of you to see me.
Not at all. It's a pleasure, any time.
It was necessary for me to right the wrong done you by my lord and master.
You're quite right, eh? Would you mind mentioning that to number 5 if he should see her? Thank you.
Your Ladyship.
In short, ask, where is my husband?
Your husband? You mean Sir Sidney.
Well, of course I mean Sir Sidney. I've only got one husband, haven't I?
No. I mean, yes. You want to see him?
Well, naturally I want to see him. What's the matter with you?
No, you can't go in there.
Why ever not?
No, the governor's very busy with an affair of state.
Well, I can't help that. This is more important.
No, but he's given strict instructions not to be disturbed.
I must see him.
Your Ladyship, he's very busy.
Will you get out of the way?
Lady Rough Diamond!
There's no need to shout. I'm not...
Blimey, my wife's here.
I must see him.
It is good. I will tell her the wrong has been righted.
You tell her nothing that can't.
Yes, but
come
if I just see her and put it very
quiet,
important...
Quiet, please.
Sydney. Oh, Sydney, dear, I've come back.
Yes, so I have.
Sydney, I have been foolish and indiscreet. I lost my head.
Is that all?
Will you ever forgive me?
What for?
Well, for running off and leaving you.
Oh, no, yes, I forgive you. Go and have a nice cup of tea.
No, Sydney, we must have it out.
Don't have it out.
But I have wronged you, dear, and I want to right that wrong now.
Now? Oh, not now. For Pete's sake, not now.
Oh, please, Sydney. I will not deny the fact that I went off with the Kazi, but I want you to know that nothing happened between us.
I know that, but... What?
Well, it's true. He never laid a finger on me.
Shh, don't tell everybody.
What do you mean, don't tell everybody? You ought to be pleased.
I am pleased. Oh, definitely, I am very pleased. But you know what they are. They're like a bit of scandal, don't they? They like to have something to talk about in the club.
Oh, yes, I see what you mean.
I mean, we've really got a reputation for that sort of thing out here. We want to keep it up, don't we?
But I'm not exactly proud nothing happened, you know.
Shh, quiet!
Please forgive me. I have wronged you.
Me?
Yes, I have righted a wrong which did not happen. I'm sorry.
Number 13 bows and heads out.
Funny woman.
What was that woman doing in there?
I don't know. Cupboard lad?
Don't you come it with me, Sydney Rough Diamond. I know you. What's that mark on your cheek? Yes, I thought so, you filthy old governor.
Oh, now, just a minute, Joni.
Don't you Joni me, you old lecher. So that's what happens to me if my back's turned.
Now, wait a minute. You ran away with another bloke, remember?
Oh, I heard some pretty weak excuses. Well, I'll teach you, Sydney
Rough Diamond! Well, it makes a change from Tiffin.
Keep your eyes skinned, men. We're expecting an attack at any moment.
Well, I'll be on my way now, Captain Keane.
I wouldn't leave the compound if I were you, Mr. Belcher. These Burpers are after blood, you know.
Oh, they wouldn't dare show violence to a missionary. Love thy neighbour, Captain.
As Brother Belcher steps out of the compound gates, a sniper shoots off his pith helmet. Captain Keane sees McNutt and Whittle being chased by the Kazi's men.
Get ready to close the gates once our men are inside. Give them some covering fire. Fire at will. Fire at will.
Poor old Will. Why do they always fire at him?
McNutt and Whittle make a dash for the residency. McNutt has a pole sticking out of his back.
Close the gates now. Come on inside. All right, cease fire!
Reporting back, sir. I'm sorry, but we were unable to hold them at the pass.
Quite all right, Sergeant Major. I'm sure you did your best. Carry on. Take over the defence.
Help!
As McNutt turns, he knocks Captain Keane to the ground with his pole.
Well, her ladyship's aim certainly seems to be improving, sir.
You're telling me.
Excuse me, Your Excellency.
Oh, Captain Keane, did I hear firing just now, or was it them men?
It was firing, sir. We are having a spot of trouble outside.
We're not doing so well in here, either. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. An armed revolt like this could set the whole of India aflame.
Yes, that's what I just said, sir.
And who asked you?
No one, sir.
Well, belt up. One false step, and it could be disastrous.
As Major Shorthouse just said, sir.
And who asked him?
Oof. Fudge.
Now, gentlemen, this revolt will have to be suppressed with the utmost tact and diplomacy. We'll string up half a dozen of them for a start.
McNutt marches in.
What is it, Sergeant Major?
Carl's is here under a flag of truce, sir. We bunged it in.
All right, Captain.
Right, Sergeant Major, show them in.
He floors the captain again with his pole.
And for heaven's sake, Sergeant Major, see the sergeant and get that thing taken out.
Under a flag of truce, eh? I wonder what that means.
Well, sir, it's a piece of white material stuck on
the pole. I know what it is.
The Kazi enters and bows.
Greetings, Your Excellency. It is most kind of you to see us at such short notice.
You're always welcome, Your Highness.
You are most kind.
And how can I be of service to Your Highness?
As a mark of my deep respect for Your Excellency's person, I have come to offer you and your people safe conduct out of Calabar.
A very magnanimous gesture. And if I do not wish to leave?
Then, Your Excellency, I shall be forced, most reluctantly, to burn the residency to the ground and kill everyone in it.
Is that all?
As a further mark of my respect, I shall then exhibit your distinguished but neatly severed head from the walls of the palace.
A very generous gesture.
You are most welcome, Your Excellency.
And just to show that we too are capable of making a generous gesture.
He blows a raspberry.
In that case, there is nothing more to say.
Unless you'd like to stop for a bit of tiffin.
No, thank you. Unlike you British, we are not tiffin mad.
The Kazi leaves with Bung Ditin.
I still don't trust that fella.
Things look rather bad, sir. What are we going to do?
Do, Captain? We're British. We won't do anything.
Till it's too late.
Precisely. That's the first sensible thing you've said today.
Thank you, sir.
Now, gentlemen, as always, we will carry on as if nothing was going to happen.
Surely, sir, we must make some decisions.
You're quite right, Captain. Shorthouse?
Sir.
We'll have dinner at 7.
Yes, sir.
And I'd like Captain Keane, Princess Jelly, and Brother Belcher to join us.
Yes, sir.
Black tie, of course.
Of course, sir.
McNutt rallies his men in the compound, while outside, Bung Ditin's men wheel an artillery gun into position.
I don't believe there's only one thing to be worried about, and that's me, and I'm right behind you!
Witness painting a red line on the ground inside the compound.
What is that supposed to be, Willow?
The thin red line. They'll never get past that.
If you don't get out of here, you'll have a thin red line across the thick white backside! Now remember, men, it's up to us to see they don't get through!
Everything is ready for the attack, Mighty Raj.
7 o'clock. This hour will go down in history, Bung Ditin.
Shall I give the order to attack?
Yes. No, wait. What strange noise is that? What trickery is this?
A uniformed quartet plays in an elegant dining room where Sir Sidney and his guests are being served dinner. There are silver candelabras on the table, and a large crystal chandelier hangs above them. Sir Sidney sits at one end of the table, and Lady Rough Diamond at the other.
You, up there! What is this noise? Can you see what is happening?
Oh, yes! They are sitting down to dinner!
Sitting down to dinner? Are they stark, raving bonkers? Do they think I'm playing games? It is a typical exhibition of the British phlegm. I spit on their British phlegm. Oh, excuse me, most impolite expression, but these people sometimes infuriate me. Oh, they come out here with their starched uniforms and their stiff upper lips and their dirty great flags hanging out. Think they own the place.
They do?
Well, they won't much longer. Start the attack. If you... By the time I finish with them, their stiff upper lips will be so limp, they'll be hanging down to their navels!
I will kill the pigs! Fire!
Shells rip two holes in the residency's wall.
That will teach them to bend turbans on the buses.
Inside, the dinner party continues as if nothing was happening. Brother Belcher jumps as he puts a spoonful of soup to his mouth and Sir Sidney wipes an eye.
Aren't you enjoying your soup then?
Oh, delightful. Delightful.
Terrible noise.
Yes, it's shocking, isn't it?
It's not a first-class orchestra. Mind you, they're doing their best.
I mean the noise outside.
Oh,
It's probably the drains again. Major Shorthouse, you really must have that seen to.
Yes, sir. How are you enjoying your stay in India, Mr. Belcher?
Marvellous. Can't wait to leave.
Yes, I suppose it has its ups and downs.
A window shatters behind the quartet.
We'll all be going up in a minute.
Bits of plaster fall from the ceiling in a cloud of dust.
I must say, the wind seems to be a little strong tonight.
Who's?
Another window caves in, and Lady Rough Diamond flicks a piece of plaster from her shoulder.
We used to know a missionary fellow when we were in the Solomon Islands. You remember, dear?
Oh, yes, a splendid man. He went down very well with the natives.
Did he? Yeah, they had him.
The gun battle continues to rage. A piece of stone lands in Brother Belcher's soup, and another piece strikes a gong.
You rang, sir?
Yes, Chindy. You may serve the wine.
Wine? They're raving mad.
The fakirs lying beneath a sheet on a bed of nails beside the residency wall.
What's all this noise? Can't you see I'm trying to sleep?
What is that? Fakir, who helped them to escape from Jackson.
Another idiot. I'll teach him and those fools in there a lesson they will never forget. Seize him.
Cease firing. Stop firing. Plenty.
Brother Belcher holds a hand to his ear.
There's more wine, Mr. Belcher.
It's finished.
No, it's half a bottle here still. Go on, give me some.
No, no. I mean all that banging and rumbling.
Banging and rumbling? Didn't notice any banging and rumbling?
Oh, Sydney, you didn't forget to take your soda mint before dinner.
No,
I don't mean that sort of rumbling, madam.
Oh, you mean the noise outside just now?
Yes, that's right.
Yes, a spot of thunder. It's the season for it, you know. Yes, of course. You know, I remember once we were in Pune, we had a shocking storm. It really poured down.
Oh, yes, I remember that very well.
Yes, I thought it would.
Stark bonkers, a lot of them.
A servant sets down a covered meat dish.
Ah, the meat course. You'll love this.
The fakir's head sits on a bed of lettuce, an apple in his mouth.
And for my next trick,
we'll perform a feat.
Well, that's not what we ordered, is it, Sydney?
Of course it isn't. Chindy, what's the meaning of this?
I do not know, Your Excellency.
Well, I ordered sucking pig, didn't I?
I'm very sorry, Your Excellency.
Well, take it away. Go on. You've got to get rid of that cook, dear.
Oh, yes.
Did you want to go somewhere, Mr. Belcher?
Mad. That's the fakir's head. They killed him.
Well, that's dashed unsporting.
Unsporting?
Yes, it's the closed season for fakirs.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
No, it's true, eh? Here we are, April 1st to September 30th.
Of course. How silly of me.
I should have known. Some wine.
How did they like that?
He didn't like it. They're sending it back.
You mean they're going on with the dinner?
Yes, Highness.
Oh, no, this is ridiculous. What must one do to arouse these idiots? I do not know, Highness. A thing like that leaves them unmoved. But put the tea in the cup before the milk, and they go berserk. It is like they're Sir Francis Drake finishing his bowls.
Oh, don't talk bowls to me. Kill them! Kill them all!
Attack! Attack! Kill! Kill! Kill!
Bakaz's men exchange fire with soldiers lined up along the top of the residence's wall. A servant tops up Sir Sidney's wine glass.
So you and the princess plan to get married, eh, Captain?
That's right, sir.
Oh, I do love a wedding.
Yeah, good show. Of course, I shall put the residency at your disposal.
Well, that's jolly kind of you, sir.
A window frame falls out.
What's left of it? I said, what's left of it? Oh, hey, oh, yes.
Major Shorthouse, make a note. Will you have this room redecorated?
Yes, sir.
The termites, you know. So will your mothers and father be coming in?
The battle rages on.
More wine, come on. Chindy. Get me some more, Margot. This one's a bit off.
A shell tears through the dining room, covering everyone with white dust, and a lump of plaster lands on Lady Rough Diamond's tiara-ed head.
I see you've got a little plaster.
Another shell leaves the quartet flat on their backs and their instruments in splinters.
Oh, the orchestra seems to stop playing.
Everyone applauds politely as the band members struggle to their feet.
Bravo! Encore! Ah!
Brother Belcher buries his head in his hands and the band strikes up again. Another chunk of wall is blown away, then the gates.
The gates have gone! Attack! Kill!
In the compound, soldiers of the 3rd Foot and Knife retreat as Bundertin's men charge in and engage in hand-to-hand combat.
Well done, my beautiful warrior! Come, we will put them to the sword!
A cork's pulled from a wine bottle.
Blimey, you're frightening the life out of me.
The chandelier crashes down onto the table.
I was wondering if I might just pop outside, sir, and see if anything's happening.
But you haven't had your pudding yet, Captain.
Oh, and it's strawberry mousse.
Oh. Well, in that case...
Mr. Belcher?
Good evening.
I was adjusting my dickie.
Oh.
In the compound, soldiers struggle to hold back the advancing hordes.
Excuse me for buzzing you, sir.
That's all very well, Sergeant Major, but we have got a door, you know.
I'm sorry, Your Excellency, but this was rather urgent,
sir. All right, what is it?
I'm afraid they've broken into the compound, sir.
I say, that's a dashed bad show.
Perhaps we ought to go out and have a look at the situation, eh, Captain?
Yes, sir.
If the ladies will excuse us.
Oh, yes, of course, dear, if it's important.
I'm sure Mr. Belcher will keep you entertained when we get back. Major Shorthouse, my revolver, please.
Of course, sir.
Have you got yours, dear, just in case?
Yes, dear.
Try and save the last bullet for Mr. Belcher, will you? After all, he is our guest. Cindy, please.
Brother Belcher's delirious.
Don't worry, we'll save you some strawberry mousse. Strawberry mousse!
A bagpiper plays on the terrace. A soldier fight man to man with the warriors.
You come here often?
What did you do that for?
I just got my enemy spurned.
Have you?
Oh, get back and fight!
Sir Sidney, Captain Keane, and Shorthouse amble out onto the terrace.
I think they were in business this time, Captain.
Looks a bit like it, sir. If you'll excuse me.
Certainly.
Permission to have a bash, sir?
Yes, go on, enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
A raging warrior runs at Sir Sidney, sword in hand.
You wish to see me?
Sir Sidney calmly shoots him. As the vicious brawl continues just feet from where he's standing, Sir Sidney picks debris distractedly from his hair and jacket. Captain Keane fights his way back out of the melee.
Fall back to the residency, man! Fall back!
Captain Keane, your collar's undone.
Oh, sorry, sir. I'm afraid we're done for, sir. There's too many of them.
Not yet. Line the men up down there.
Sir?
Line them up! Facing the enemy. Yes,
sir.
The warriors advance hesitantly.
Stop!
Complain! Kill! Rush!
Go! There are no devils in skirts to frighten you now!
Arms! Right!
The warriors turn and flee in terror.
There's nothing to be afraid of! Oh, I don't know, though.
All right, Captain, dismiss the man.
Thank you, sir. Carry on, Sergeant Major.
Yeah. Right, you go to there and get Philly Pony!
Sydney, dear, are you all right?
Oh, top old, dear, top old.
I thought you'd have coffee in the lounge.
Yes, why not?
Oh, dear.
That's all right, we'll clear it up in the morning.
Lady Rough Diamond takes her husband's arm. A fluttering Union flag bears the legend, "I'm back in Britain."
Of course, they're all raving mad, you know.